south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, just a little announcement now. Getting some emails, people asking when I'm going to do my next Expat Insider Seminar. Well, we're putting together the details on it now. It's probably going to be the first or second week in January coming up, 2019, right after the new year, as usual. And it'll be in and around Guatemala, and quite possibly popping in and out of the country of El Salvador, too. So for all those interested, I'll keep you up with the details. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and put Johnny's Expat Seminar or something like that in the subject box. And again, we'll have couples and early bird discounts for people signing up a few months ahead of time. And for you repeat offenders, we always have repeat offenders, you'll get a $1,000 discount, as usual. And for all you first-timers that might sign up, remember, you get an hour free consult phone call with me before the seminar. So do get on my seminar update list. Just shoot me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And of course, you longtime listeners know coming down to one of my seminars is the easiest pathway to temporary or permanent residency in Guatemala. And it's still one of the few Latin countries with very lenient rules for obtaining your temporary and permanent residency. For example, it's one of the few countries you could apply for temporary residency, which automatically leads to permanent residency in 2 years, and you don't have to show any kind of income. That means you don't have to show any recurrent rental, pension, social security income, or deposit any money in a bank account, or buy any land, invest in a business, or anything at all. And those are requirements in most other Latin countries. Of course, things are always changing, and things are getting more difficult all the time. So you really have to get with the program while you can. Which is why so many people who attend my Expat Insider Seminars jump on the residency thing while they're down. It's so easy to get started on it, because we always have our trusted, lag time approved, mañana time attorney. And he's the one who gives the legal part of the seminar lectures, too. So at the seminar, you'll see him hanging around at all times. And he's also hanging around at all of our nighttime dinners and activities and events. That means you get a whole week of free legal advice anytime you want it. However, keep in mind, if you're looking to kill two birds with one stone, that is, come to the seminar and get your residency started in Guatemala, you'll have to get your paperwork ready. And that usually takes a month or less of screwing around with agencies and mailings up in the States to get it together. That means you don't want to wait till the last minute. So stay tuned and we'll keep you up to date on the step-by-step process of getting that paperwork together too. Meanwhile, before we get to part two of our very un-PC Lonely Hearts Club email regarding sex, love, dating, mating, hookups, divorce, kids, and marriage as it pertains to cross-cultural matters of the heart here in Latin America, before we dive into those murky waters and piss off even more people than I did with the last show, I'm going to read a short email from an older retired gringo who came down, in fact, drove down, and wanted to do the residency and living here in Latin America thing all by himself with no help. Well, pretty much no help. In other words, as you longtime listeners heard me say many times before, if you got more time than money, you can do almost everything down here yourself. That would be residency, getting utility hookups, buying a place or signing a rental contract, buying a car, getting a cell phone, internet hookup, finding doctors, lawyers, accountants, shamans, Indian chiefs, backroom poker games, whatever. That includes anything and everything in the mating, dating, and hookup angle too. But that's only for gringos and expats who have much more time than money. However, when you set out to do all that yourself, it's at some peril, you know. There are literally thousands of cases of gringos spinning their wheels on things for months, even years, and getting screwed royally in the process. And how long it takes and whether you're going to get ripped off or not, and to what degree, all depends on just a couple of things. Your Spanish skills and whether you're on or off the gringo tourist trail when you're trying to accomplish those things. Or as expat Eddie likes to say, how clueless you are on a 1 to 10 scale combined with your luck or lack of it. Though it's also true that many gringos and expats who started off trying to do everything on their own, then after finding they've been spinning their wheels for a long, long time and dumping a lot of dough down the drain in the process, that's when most of them throw in the towel and follow good advice, a lot of it coming from this show. Oh, and did I mention if you've got more time than money, and that's usually the backpacker way, it's a guarantee that you'll be standing in government lines for not hours, but days and weeks when you add it all up. So if you've got no problem with that, and some people really don't because they might have an iPod, listening to e-books, whatever. Hey, you know, if you're an avid reader, you can read anywhere, right? In a bar, cafe, chicken bus, taxi, park, on the beach sucking down a margarita, or standing for hours elbow to a-hole with a bunch of poor people in a pathetic government line. And hey, that's not to disparage poor people. It's just the fact is, it's the people that don't have the dough to pay a lawyer or a helper to fast track them through that process who will be your suffering buddies, compañeros in those sweaty long lines. But you knew that already, right? So that said, I'm going to read you this email now that comes from such a guy who has much more time than money. Or maybe he just likes the challenge, the adventure of it. He's one of those guys that did it all himself. Yep, it can be done, but it's not without its pitfalls, that's for sure. So here goes, and this one comes from Don. Actually, his name is Don, but down here in Latin America, Latins can be and usually are much more respectful and polite than people up north. They'll often address you with the polite preface, Don, like Don Carleone. So in this case, his name is Don, so he'll be Don. And as for women, the polite way locals will address you will be Doña, followed by whatever your first name is. Here we go, and I'll paraphrase this as usual. All right, so Don says, "Hey, Johnny Mueller, I made it to Guatemala. 2,500 miles driving down from central Missouri. Lots of stories about that trip. All right, meet Johnny again. Forgot to tell you, he's also one of those guys who, against all better judgment, decided to drive from the States through to Mexico on down through to Central America, in this case, Guatemala. Believe me, it's not for the faint of heart, and you longtime listeners know that. I hit on that topic many times. Oh, by the way, Don, I want you to send me another email outlining the two or three craziest incidents or stories you had while driving down here through Mexico. That should be interesting fodder for a future Expat Files show, guaranteed. And what makes his story, I think, particularly interesting is by the photos he sends me, it looks like he's around 70 or so, maybe way past 70. And being an old retired military guy, that goes a long way to explain why he drove all the way down fearlessly. Some of those military guys, balls of steel, you know? All right, so he says he drove down 2,500 miles from central Missouri. Anyway, he says, I'm settled right now in Panajachel. That's Lake Atitlan region, the most beautiful lake in the world, at the Edificio Macando. I even got a bank account. Did that myself, too. I got my lease notarized, car insurance, permission for a driving extension for my vehicle. That means I can drive it in the country for a couple of more months before I have to have it titled here. I even did all my paperwork for my permanent pensionado residency. And guess what? I got it accepted on my own. Did it all myself. Although I had to have Mrs. Myra from a recommended translation service translate my documents into Spanish. But for me, other than that, I did it. I got it all done myself, but not without stress and pretty much pulling out all my hair. Didn't have much to begin with. Then he says, you're right, Johnny. Pretty much everyone I talked to along the way, including two different lawyers, got everything wrong. Nobody knows nothing down here. Nothing except hearsay. From all those idiot expat know-it-alls who are warming up bar stools to lawyer wannabes spewing out bad advice, you just about gotta do everything yourself. Anyway, Johnny, just want to say thanks for all the great information I gathered from your show. Lots and lots of good tips. And right now, I'm working on medical insurance, of course, doing it myself, and was listening to your show about the different plans and what happens when you go to insurance brokers here. I keep telling them I want economical, without all the extras and the bells and the whistles. But, as you say, they insist I must have everything. The whole works, the kitchen sink, because I'm a gringo and must have Learjets and helicopters at my immediate disposal. You're a gringo, gotta have the best, right? Makes you want to laugh out loud. What a bunch of idiots. By the way, here's some info you might want to spew out on your show. Since I'm a retired vet, I'm in touch with a commander at the American Legion post in Antigua, Guatemala. They meet once per month, officially, and once a week at the Café Condesa to discuss various veteran issues. Did you know Trump just signed a new VA healthcare bill, and veterans overseas now have some kind of coverage depending on their circumstances, whereas in the past, you had none if you were overseas. If you wanted or needed any coverage, you'd have to get back to the States to a VA hospital for that. So there's a new bill, new coverage plans, lots to find out about it. Then he attaches the form showing that he's applied for pensionado residency and a picture of himself sitting down in one of my favorite cafes in Santiago, Lake Atitlan. And there's this nice picture of a big-ass pickup truck packed to the gills, the one he drove down. All right, thanks for that, Don Donnie. And I guess we got to give you this month's Huevos Grandes Award, Big Balls Award, for driving down and doing everything yourself. But it just goes to show, it can be done. Just take some time. Could be a lot of time. So again, Don Donnie, I'd like you to send me an email outlining the two or three craziest things that happened to you on the way down through Mexico onto Guatemala. All right, now the part you've been waiting or hating for. The rest of that lonely heart, divorce, motivated email from soon-to-be expat living in Colombia, Kelly. At least I think that's his plan, because, you know, it's the kiss of death if you meet a Latin girl here in Latin America and you bring her back to the States. That's another subject. We'll talk about that maybe in next week's show. But since I mentioned it, it's almost a sure guarantee for failure. When you find what you think is your true love here in Latin America and you bring her back to the States. And vice versa for gringas here in Latin America. You find your perfect Latino man, the Antonio Banderas of your dreams, and you bring him back to the States. It never works. Oh, and I don't mean the balding, pale-looking, skeleton-like Antonio Banderas of 2018 who looks like he's getting treated for AIDS. I'm talking about Zorro, the Antonio Banderas of the 1990s. God, what happened to that guy? Did Melody Griffith put the hex on him or something after he filed for divorce? Speaking of divorce, that is part of the theme we're hitting on today. The fact is, in my 27 or is it 28 years down here now, I've met dozens of people who've done that. That is, they've met what they thought was their perfect Latino or Latina love match and then brought them back to live in the States. And I don't just mean a short vacation or two to see your hometown or meet the grandparents or to meet your 30-something snotty-ass entitled kids you're still supporting from your first or second marriage. I'm talking about bringing them back to Cleveland, Detroit, Atlanta, New York, whatever, to live permanently. From what I can see, and I'm sure there are exceptions to everything, not a single one has ever worked out. However, when you meet them down here and you stay living in Latin America, a lot of times it's pure bliss. Seen that happen many times too. Anyway, I have to mention, after last week's show, I sent a copy of it before it went out on the air to expat Eddie. Because, you know, there's really nobody that knows the mating, dating, romance, hookup, long-distance pen pal Cupid scene like Eddie. Then he called me and he said, you know what, Johnny? I'll never forget the dating advice my mother gave me in high school. It was right before junior prom time and I hadn't had a steady girlfriend or a date yet, at least not that she knew of. So said Eddie. He said, Johnny, these are the 10 basic tips my mother gave me before I went out on that first date. At least, he said, if you follow all 10 of these guidelines, you won't necessarily be repulsive to a girl. Number one, don't miss any belt loops. Number two, wear clean clothes and iron your shirts. Number three, check twice, not once, for crusty stuff around your ears, eyes, and nose. Number four, have me or one of your sisters pick out your clothes. Number five, bathe before that date. Number six, use deodorant. Number seven, clean your fingernails and earwax. Number eight, wear long sleeve shirts and high collars if you have goth, snake, or skull tattoos. Number nine, when you're on the date, let her talk at least 3 times as much as you do. Number 10, and the frosting on the cake, compliment her shoes, whether you like them or not, and then tell her you're not gay. All right, all excellent tips and all-around general universal advice from expat Eddie's mom. Wish my mom would have told me that stuff. And of course, all that stuff applies down here too in Latin America for gringos who are in the mating and dating game. Then again, what if your Spanish really sucks? Well, we'll get into that later. All right, last we left off with lonely heart, disgruntled divorcee, expat Kelly, who admittedly is hanging out lately on those Colombian Cupid dating sites and has actually been corresponding with 3 different Colombian ladies, who most certainly don't know he's got 3 of them on the line. But then again, it's almost a certainty that they're doing the very same thing to him. Anyway, from what he says, he's about to make his first trip down to Colombia to meet with these ladies for the first time face to face. All right, to refresh your memory a bit from the last show, what he's saying is that he's working on his plan B to get the hell out of Dodge and move to Columbia for other than the usual reasons. What pushed him over the edge, he says, was being whipsawed financially and emotionally by a couple of divorces. And since he says he's the American kind, a lot of guys like that, he didn't want to go through the ringer again with a woman up in the States, so he's going to test the waters in Colombia. But in his case, it's not as if he's throwing a dart at the Latin Cupid dartboard. He's got a brother who lived in Colombia and in other places in Latin America, a jarhead. You know, part of the great American, let's have a military base everywhere plan. So he's got a brother who's told him amazing things about Latin America, including the mating and dating scene. So he's not going into this endeavor as a totally clueless gringo, though he doesn't speak any Spanish, which is a bad start. My opinion, of course. Anyway, he goes on to say in his email, people, that is American men, say that American women, along with lawyers, feminists, and social justice warriors, brought this sad state of marriage and conjugal chaos on themselves. They've really put the scare into the average men, and they're terrified of mating, dating, and marriage in general. Then he says, of course, it's not only the men, but the women who are suffering for all this. It's the big reason why so few of them over 30 ever have a chance of getting married again. All that woman's rights stuff seemed like a good idea at the time, but no one thought of the unintended consequences. Now, a great many men up in the States are absolutely gun-shy of having a serious relationship with an American woman. Thus, the huge proliferation of foreign mating and dating sites aimed at mostly gringos. And it's not just the Latin mating dating sites. They've got the Russian and the Asian and the Indian, European, even Muslim mating and dating sites. The problem is the law, he says. Turns out it's the woman's lawyer in the divorce driving the woman to do things to you she would never have done if you were going through a divorce 25 or 30 years ago. In fact, he says, if I were a counselor, my advice to someone who's gotten divorced is next time around, if you're lonely, get a dog. And if that's not good enough, and you are like me, the Marian kind, and I don't know why I'm that way, probably a faulty gene, who knows. My best advice is, as soon as you see any hint of dark clouds on the horizon, when that little guy in your head, who you almost never listen to, starts hinting that something's rotten in paradise, keep a paper trail, because someday you'll probably need it in court. Then he says, after my first divorce, I swore to myself I'd never get married again. Then I met number two, and her love bombing blinded me. I'm afraid I never had anything like that happen to me before. He says, yes, Johnny, I found wife number two on a U.S. mating and dating Cupid site. You probably heard of it, Match.com. All right, meet Johnny here. You know what? Till I read this email, I didn't even know what love bombing was. So what is love bombing? Well, it seems after you've been communicating just a short time, suddenly you're swamped with all kinds of lovey-dovey, sexy, sweet talk and affection. Even though you might have only known her a couple of days or a couple of hours or a couple of paragraphs exchanged between you online. Basically, it's an early on excessive outpouring of love and affection. And sex too? Yeah, I guess so, when you meet her. All right, so that's a new term for me. Anyway, Kelly says, guys, when that happens, you'll get blindsided. If you find yourself in that situation, floating on a cloud, because that kind of stuff just never happened to you before, even on one of your honeymoons. And if you're foolish and susceptible, you just might marry her for lust, pride, or both. And lust and pride, they're not two of the seven deadly sins for nothing. Oh, and these days, Johnny, it seems like everyone's a narcissist, including the men, of course. And marrying a narcissist these days, anyway, is probably a certainty. And I'm here to tell you, Johnny, marrying a narcissist is a union with the devil. And yes, there will be hell to pay. Marrying a narcissist, you'll never be number one in her life. You'll be number two behind her kids, or number three if she's got kids and a job, number four if she's got kids and a job and a dog, and if she's got health club buddies or is in a ladies' investment club, you'll be fifth and sixth and on and on. So anyway, Johnny, that's my story. Up in the States, married for 14 years, two divorces, and I'm completely and absolutely miserable being alone. I need a partner to talk to and be with every day. Like I said, I've got a defective gene. I'm the Marian kind. So then, how does a 40 or 50-something guy meet women? At the grocery store? The bank? Bars and discos? Well, that's a pain. Totally unpredictable and could take forever. But that's old school and not much done anymore. Now we've got those Cupid sites and speed dating. I tried it, he said, and man, did I get an education. Meet Johnny again. Speed dating, huh? Man, that's a weird concept. I can't see how that could be a comfortable situation for anyone. I hear it's like musical chairs. You got a big room full of people, and you switch when the buzzer goes off. Is that weird or what? Then Kelly says, think of the pressure, Johnny. You got 20 minutes for both of you to ask all kinds of questions. And the truth is, things could get pretty harsh. Right down to the nitty-gritty. Things you'd never say if you're going on a real date and spending 3-4 hours together. Because, you know, you're asking questions that are qualifiers. Like, for example, she'll say, what kind of car do you drive? Which is basically like saying, how much money do you make? And some of these ladies, you know, are desperate. The guys, too. For example, when a 40-something woman with 4 kids asked me the question, what are you looking for in a woman? She's basically saying, what kind of lies would you like me to tell you? And the truth is, at those speed dating sessions, I actually had a couple of women come right out and say, how much money do you make? Hell, one even asked me if I owned my house free and clear or was I still paying on a mortgage. And then there's those good-looking ladies who take care of themselves and wear designer clothes and have expensive jewelry. They won't come right out and say, how much money do you make? They'll say things like, what do you do for a living? And you don't want to say truck driver or mailman. And watch your eyes light up when you say internet entrepreneur or anything internet. Though technically, and I know it's a stretch, anyone with a Facebook account is a would-be internet entrepreneur. You gotta fib or even lie a little bit to be sure, but hell, they'll lie if you ask them their weight or their age, or how many times a week they work out at the gym. And sometimes, in the first 30 seconds, before they even sit down at the table, you know she's not the one, not even near it. Of course, it works in reverse, too. And some of these ladies have an absolute nasty edge to them. You could tell they chewed up, spit out, and burned a lot of guys. For example, in one of my more brutal encounters, when she asked me how much money I made, I said, I'll tell you that if you tell me how much you weigh. Gotta remember that one. Another, he says, non-starter asked me how much money I made, and I said, I don't know. How much do you cost? So in those speed dating situations, the women kind of lay out their deal breakers right away. But we have ours too. Like, for example, can you cook? Because beauty fades, you know. And do you have gainful employment? How about your credit cards? Are they maxed out? Are you paying the minimum payment? Just that question says a lot about a person. And possibly the most important question of all, does your baby's daddy pay child support and is he current? Worse yet, half the women on your date will spend half their time screwing around on social media platforms. Talk about deal breakers. I remember my dad used to say, happy wife, happy life. It's a warning because there is no equivalent for a male, you know. All right, me, Johnny, here again. You know what my dad used to say? If mommy's not happy, nobody's happy. All right, then he says, of course there are good women and good men, too, up here in the States. But you know, love is fleeting, but hatred is forever. Then he said, Johnny, I heard you say on a past show, quote, kids are God's punishment for having good sex. Words of wisdom. Did I really say that? If I did, I'd have added that kids are God's punishment for bad sex, too. Then he says, well, Johnny, how are we to know that after we got married young in college or after high school, whatever, we'd have a first round of kids that grew up and left home or not? And now that we live longer and healthier, well, strike that part, some of us who were unlucky enough to get whipsawed by divorce and alimony, child support, college expenses, etc., we know what it's like to hit relationship rock bottom. So low that some of us want to try our luck south of the border. Could it be any worse? Not by a long shot. Not according to my brother and his friends. I've heard plenty of stories from him and his jarhead buddies. They say Latin women actually treat their better halves as the number one priority in their lives. Even when kids come, you're still number one. And if they have a job or career, which is a bonus, you're still number one. Nope, not the kids, not the job, the gym, the soccer club, none of that. Anyway, who would have thought that some of us, if we take the plunge, can actually win yet another kind of lottery after we've hit absolute lows here in the States? Of course, every time you get in a new relationship, you end up accumulating baggage. I've got tons of my own. You know, a new life, another round of kids, always a possibility, which makes for an even more impossible situation if it happens up in the States. But in Latin America, as my brother and his friends have proven over and over again, Social Security or a halfway decent pension gives you a nice first world or better lifestyle. But you have to be south of the border. Speaking of money here, you'll read over and over that divorce is the number one cause of financial ruin for men in Western culture. But some men, like me, are the marrying kind and we're stuck in a perpetual loop. You know what they say about the lottery? You can't win if you don't buy a ticket. That's why I'm on the Latin dating sites. But Johnny, they are treacherous and in many ways you never would have dreamed of. And in my next email, if you choose to read and digest it, I'll be giving you the absolute lowdown as to what to expect when you dive into those deep, deep, uncharted waters of the Latin Cupid dating sites. Number one, and this is no spoiler here, surprisingly enough, nearly all the women on these sites are 40 years old or under. Now, they might not really be 40 years or under, but you know, those dating sites are a world of lies and fibs. But I think as a rule of thumb, you must assume that every childless Latin woman, 26 and over, wants children and wants them soon and in a big way. What they say on that issue or in the dating sites or in person is irrelevant. How they act or behave when the subject comes up is irrelevant. Get that in your head. So for all intents and purposes, all that's really relevant is that irrevocable rule of thumb that all Latinas 26 years old and above who are childless have children as both the main and their pressing concern. And of course, their next most pressing concern, equal in rank with having kids, is to hook a good provider, a stable guy with a good job, or as the Latin ladies will put it, bien recursos, meaning good resources. And in their minds, gringos top that list, and for good reason. Because, as you pointed out many times, Johnny, though the average slug up in the U.S. is making 40 grand a year, a guy who hates his job and is truly on the road to nowhere, and he knows it. Down in Latin America, on that kind of dough, you're considered somewhat wealthy. Upper middle class, in fact. We're talking about the top 5 or even 3% of Latin income earners. Anyway, Johnny, as the old song goes, love is a battlefield. In my next email, I'll be explaining the rules of engagement when you're playing that game on foreign territory. And the game is rigged, but there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you know it. Chances are you will get wounded, but it doesn't have to be fatal. In fact, you can win spectacularly, though you're guaranteed to lose a few battles and some dough along the way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy.